Happy Easter! I want to welcome you. Thank you for making your way in and through the crowds who were leaving after the 9:40 service. We welcome you. I am Catherine Fluck Price. I am one of the pastors of Trinity, and it is great to celebrate Easter with you on this glorious day. If you are here for the first time, we are so especially glad to have you as our guest. If you're here all the time, we welcome you as well. I want to invite you to take a moment and get the Connect card out of your bulletin. It's a long card, and you can let us know your name and your email. If you're here for the first time, any other information that you can give us, we would greatly appreciate. It helps us to get connected and stay connected with you. You can also register online by getting the Trinity app. Just search for Trinity Gainesville, and you should be able to find the app, and you can let us know that you're here that way as well. Again, we welcome you, and we look forward to worshiping together on this beautiful Easter Sunday. I want to invite you now to stand with me, and we're going to share together in a responsive call to worship. You'll find it on the screen. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. The Lord is risen. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Christ has risen indeed. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. And now let me invite you to say Happy Easter. He has risen to someone near you. Please introduce yourself, step across the aisle, and say good morning.
Morning. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our Easter worship together by singing Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. For the heaven chorus sing, good me. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise as we gather in this space today, as we sing our songs of praise, as we hear the word proclaimed about your great love, and as we feast at your table of mercy. May we have an encounter of the resurrection that cannot be contained, but one that we take with us out into the world in our very lives and souls. In Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Would you join me this morning in affirming our faith through the reciting of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, who from lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Years ago on Easter Sunday 2017, the people of Trinity started a journey with some children in the country of Rwanda through a partnership with a ministry called Zoe. Today you're going to have an opportunity to respond to that ongoing work with these children and more to come through Zoe. And we wanted you to know a little bit about Zoe and the way it's having an impact. So I first invite you to take the next couple of moments to watch this video that we prepared for you today.
My name is Nyandu, and this is my brother, Mukisha. We live in Rwanda. After our parents died and our hearts collapsed, we had no home, no food, and our neighbors looked down on us. All we had was each other. Anyone could see we needed help. But Zoe saw how we could help ourselves. With the grants from Zoe, we started a charcoal business. We were growing and saving every day. Our dreams of a better life finally seemed possible. But then, all of our charcoal was stolen. Again, we had no home and no food. But Zoe gave us community. They helped us start again. Business owners. We are homeowners. We are leaders. We are builders. We are teachers. Thank you. the next time you see me, I will have accomplished even more. Now I dream of what we can do together. We are Zoe.
Travel to Rwanda along with three members of Trinity to see firsthand what is happening through the ministry of Zoe and to meet the kids, those young people who were orphans before they entered Zoe, who are a part of our groups that Trinity is currently sponsoring. You'll see a photo here of the four of us with some of those young people who are a part of one of the groups. One of the things that Zoe does is to put them all in groups of 75 to 90 young people, ranging in age from their later teens down to very young children. And the older ones become the leaders in their family groups. But then collectively they gather for learning opportunities and for worship and to hear the good news shared with them about a love that they could have never imagined before. Many of these children were exploited in their villages because they were vulnerable. They had no parents, and so they were at great risk. And now they are creating these wonderful lives for themselves through what Zoe is able to do. And Trinity has been and now will continue to be a part of that. Here's one more photo you can take a look at of one of the groups. This is the Ibyashimo group. The word Ibyashimo is Kinyarwandan for happiness. So we currently have three groups going. And today, you have an opportunity to make sure that we finish well with those three groups, but also help us to continue to support more kids through this ministry. So now is probably a good time to tell you about my shirt. So while I was there, one of the days we were there, we had the opportunity to visit a shop that is co-owned and operated by six Zoe graduates. These are young people who are now in their 20s who 7 or 8 years ago were those exploited orphans who did not know where their next meal would come from. And now, through the vocational training that they received as a part of their Zoe experience, they have become tailors. And so we walked into their shop one day, and any member of our group who was there from America could pick out a fabric and could have them take our measurements, and the next day we came back and here's what I got. Right? As one of my friends who has seen the shirt says, that shirt screams resurrection. The sun, the butterflies, and it also screams resurrection about the impact that this ministry of Zoe is having. So here's the deal. You can make a gift today in any amount as a part of our Easter mission offering to support Zoe. There's some envelopes in the backs of some of the chairs where you're seated. There's also a card that has a QR code if you would prefer to go online. That code will take you straight to a giving page on our website where you can make a gift. Feel free to make a gift of any amount. If you would like to accept the challenge that I recently extended, I would welcome that. That 100 people would partner with Catherine and myself in making a commitment for this coming year of $1 a day. $365, you can do it all today or do it in monthly installments. But if 100 of us give $1 a day for the next year, we will serve four groups, which will be approximately 300 children this coming year. So thank you for listening. Thank you for considering being a part of making a difference in the lives of these kids. We're going to take a moment to pray together now, and as we do, I would invite you to remember our Zoe kids. I also want to encourage you to remember in your prayers this morning the people of Sri Lanka. I woke up early this morning to the news that as they were gathering in Sri Lanka for worship this morning on Easter, that simultaneously there were six bombings that happened in churches and hotels throughout Sri Lanka. The last count I heard was nearly 200 dead and over 500 injured. So please remember the people in that country this morning. So I'll give you a moment to just pray in silence and then I'll offer a prayer for us. gather in your name this day to marvel once again at the good news of Easter. Even in the face of death and darkness, we pray that you might fill us with abundant hope. Risen Christ, into your hands we place our families, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and all whom we meet this day. Enfold them in your will. Risen Christ, into your hands we place all who are sick, hungry, without shelter, or in despair. Tenderly watch over them. Risen Christ, into your hands we place all who are victims of prejudice, oppression, or neglect. May every life be cherished from conception to the grave. Risen Christ, into your hands we place all who are suffering due to violence and evil. We especially pray this morning for the people of Sri Lanka. May all know the comfort of your love. Risen Christ, bring renewal to all our lands and to the church throughout the world. Raise up new callings to ministries of justice, mercy, and compassion. Bless and empower communities of faith like ours to be bold in meeting the needs of our times. And may we walk in your footsteps, assured that it is the way that leads to life. So hear us now as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
moment, the ushers will come forward to receive the offering for this morning. Again, if you're making a gift for Zoe, if you would just mark on your check or on the envelope, Zoe, if it's a regular offering to support the ongoing ministries of Trinity, you can simply mark that as well. And if you're making your gift online, there are two different places you can indicate what your gift is for there. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we give you thanks for the abundant blessings that you pour into our lives. Pray that we might, by our offerings this morning, be a blessing to others. So take what we bring, and may it be used in ways that offer hope and good news here within the church and in the community and in places as far away as Rwanda. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Rwanda, I'm going to take, and we'll see what I come home with. So most of my life, I have needed some kind of corrective lenses. I can see distance, but not up close. And that went along fine and served me well. I started with contacts when I was in middle school, probably about sixth grade, and it worked really well for about 25 years. And then, almost to the day when I turned 40, all of a sudden I could not read. So I went out and got reading glasses, and I wore reading glasses over my contacts, and that worked well, but it was just one more pair of glasses. So I had the reading glasses, and then when I wasn't wearing the contacts, I had the regular glasses, and then when I had my contacts on and was outside, I had the sunglasses, and then when I didn't have my contacts on and I was outside, I had the prescription sunglasses. So it was just way too many glasses for me to be able to handle. So I went and saw my eye doc, and she said, well, I want you to try something. I want you to try two different contacts in your eyes, one for up close and one for distance. I was a little skeptical, wasn't sure that I was going to be able to do it, but I put them in, and, you know, my perspective was off a bit at first, and I was a little wobbly, but then I began to get used to it, and now I can see pretty clearly. I can see my notes up here, and I can see your faces out here all at the same time. It's a beautiful thing, and it helped my perspective. You know, Easter is a time of adjusting to new vision as well. Today we celebrate the resurrection, and it gives us a new lens through which we approach the world. Today, the tomb is empty. God has conquered even death, and the worst thing that could ever happen to us has been overcome by the miracle of the resurrection. It gives us a new perspective. And this new perspective can make all the difference in our lives. This morning we hear the gospel story. And we hear it from the Gospel of John. And I invite you to follow along with me as we think about this new life, this new early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken my Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. Impetuous as he was, he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around him. The cloth was lying in its place separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. And he saw and believed. He believed that the tomb was empty. They didn't yet understand, though, the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. So then the disciples returned home to the place where they were staying. But Mary stood outside near the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels dressed in white seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. The angels asked her, taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him. As soon as she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I am going up to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Then she told them what he said to her. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Well, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our God and our Redeemer. Amen. When our daughter, Shelby Hart, was about 2 years old, 2.5 years old, my grandmother, Shelby's great-grandmother, had a stroke. We called her Great Mom. So we rushed home from North Carolina, where we were living at the time, back here to Gainesville. And only hours after we arrived, Great Mom passed away. We were trying to explain it all to a 2.5-year-old, and it was a little difficult for her to understand. We said Great Mom had died and had gone to heaven to live with God. She wouldn't be here anymore with us, because she would be living with God. A couple days later, we had the visitation at the funeral home, and we wanted to take Shelby with us, because we wanted her to know and understand that dying is just a part of our lives. It's a natural part of what happens. So we took her to the funeral home, and we let her play out in the foyer. And she was out there for about an hour when she started to figure out something was happening in that room, and she wanted to go see what was happening. So we took her into the room where the casket was, and we lifted her up so she could look in and see Great Mom. And she peered into the casket, and then she said, "Okay, I'm done." And she went back out to play in the foyer. But another hour went by, and this toddler was beginning to get a little bit restless. So the funeral director said, "Hey, would she like some juice and a snack?" And so we said, "Great." He took us back to a back room. And, you know, the front part of the funeral home is very nicely and handsomely furnished and appointed. Well, the back room was a little bit different. So there was a tile floor and a vending machine and a small table and a couple of metal chairs. And the room kind of smelled a little stale and musty. And we gave Shelby the juice and we gave her some crackers. And then all of a sudden she stopped and she kind of cocked her head a little bit. And she said, "Mommy, is this heaven?" I said, "No, baby, this is not heaven. Why do you ask?" And she said, "Well, you said Great Mom had died and she was going to be with God in heaven." That was her 2-year-old perspective. No, no, no. But that was how she saw things with her 2-year-old eyes. You know, it's all a matter of perspective. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She went to see the And when she arrived, the tomb was empty. She was upset. She was more than upset. She was distraught. She couldn't comprehend what was happening. How was this happening? This was not how it was supposed to be. She was grieving. And then on top of that, now someone had stolen his body. It was all more than she could bear. Nothing in the world made any sense to her anymore. So in complete distress, she runs back to tell the disciples, and two of them follow her and run back to the tomb, and they look inside, and they believe what she said, that the tomb is empty, and then they leave and go home. But Mary went to the tomb again. And as she looked in this time, it wasn't empty, but she saw two angels standing there, one where the head of Jesus would have been and one at the foot. And the angel said to the woman, to Mary, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, in exasperation, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." And then she turns around and she literally almost bumps into someone who she thinks is the gardener. And so she says again to him, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will go and get him." And then he says to her, recognized him. All of a sudden, everything became perfectly clear. Her perspective had changed. Her vision was clear. Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, and that changed everything. He told her that he was going to go and be with God the Father. And from that moment on, as soon as he told her that, she approached the world in a completely different way, from an entirely different point of view. God had conquered even death, and that gave her this perspective of hope and joy that she had never had before. I'm sure adjusting to this vision was a little bit difficult. It might have been a little bit wobbly at first, but she ran to tell the other disciples and announced with confidence and enthusiasm, "I have seen the Lord." Now that she could see clearly, her weeping turned into witnessing. She could see and approach the world in a completely different way. That's what resurrection means for us as well. It completely changes our perspective and how we see the world. And because of that, it completely changes us. The power that shattered death is given to us in life. The miraculous work that God dealt with evil once and for all became available on that first Easter day. And it is available to us as well. Not only in death, but also in this life. In the here and now, to transform us now how we live. More than ever, those of us who are Easter people are called to approach the world from a different perspective. Because Christ is risen, we can move beyond believing only what we see to entrusting God with our lives. The God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we can now see with hope and love and joy. And goodness knows the world needs that. When the evil of terrorism bombs churches and hotels in Sri Lanka on Easter Sunday, when nations take up arms against nations in the absurdity of war, when children go to bed hungry, when there is an abundance of food in the world, when politicians in our highest offices spew infantile slander against one another, when violence on our street rises to obscene levels, when states project the number of prison beds they will need in the future based on the reading level of current third grade students, goodness knows we need the hope of the resurrection here and now. And we can embrace it and witness to it because we are Easter people. We are called by Christ to go out and to offer that hope and joy. We live now with an Easter point of view. Because Christ is risen, we can be in relationship with God. Because Christ is risen, we can allow God to be at work in and through each one of us. Because Christ is risen, we don't have to sink to the lowest common denominator of the moral, social, political, and economic assumptions of the world around us. Because Christ is risen, we can live as one body and one people, united in heart and purpose, to do no harm and to do all the good we can. Because Christ is risen, we believe the love of God has overcome the worst evil of this world. Because Christ is risen, we can see the possibility of new life coming from every guest. We can see the light shining in even the darkest moments. We can see hope springing forth even from the depths of despair. We can live as Easter people with an Easter perspective. You probably don't recognize the name Nicholas Bukharin, nor should you probably. But at one time he was one of the most powerful men on earth. He was a Russian communist leader, and he was part of the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917. And he was the editor of the Soviet newspaper, Pravda. His works on economics and political science are still read today. There's a story about a trip he took from Moscow to Kiev in 1930 to address a huge crowd on atheism. He was preaching the death of Christianity, and he talked to the crowd and announced to them that Christianity was dead, Christ was dead. And the crowd was silent. And he looked around, and at the end of his message, he was sure he had convinced everyone of atheism. He looked out at the crowd, and they looked like smoldering ashes. So he stopped and he said, "Are there any questions?" And no one said a word. So then he asked the parish priest to come up and dismiss everyone. And the priest went up and stood right next to Bukharin. The priest paused for a moment. And he looked across the crowd from the left all the way over to his right. And then he pronounced the benediction that would have been familiar to all those in the Russian Orthodox Church. And he stood before the crowd and he said, "Christ is risen!" And in mass, the crowd jumped to their feet and they responded, "Christ is risen indeed." See, they were Easter people with an Easter perspective. They could see with a new vision. We are Easter people with an Easter perspective. And no matter what is around the corner, no matter what lies before us, no matter what obstacle, no matter what mourning, no matter what evil of this world, we rest secure in the knowledge risen. Christ is risen. Thank you, Jesus. God, we are often not the Easter people we should be, living with the perspective of your hope and joy, distracted by the world around us. We can fail to hear your voice, overwhelmed by heartache. We sometimes cannot see clearly, discouraged by life's difficulties, we cling more tightly to what we know. And when our faith is challenged, we begin to wander off path. Forgive us, we pray. For some of us here today, we know there's something missing in our lives. There's an emptiness. Give us the courage and wisdom to surrender and respond to you. When you speak to us, help us listen. And for all of us, O God, fix our eyes on you. Renew us, recreate us, restore us. As an Easter people, with an Easter perspective. Hallelujah.
As Easter people, we are invited to a table this morning where we see God's abundant love on full display, where we remember the death that Christ died for our sake and for the sake of the world, and where we also remember that death did not have the final word. For Christ lived, Christ died, Christ is risen. So we come this morning remembering that the meal that he shared with the disciples on that night before he died is the same meal that he continues to invite us to participate in today. We remember that he took bread and he broke it that night and shared it with them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took a cup and gave thanks. And he shared it with them and said, "Take and drink all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me? Gracious and merciful God, fill our hearts with gratitude as we come today to receive of your love for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on everyone here and on the gifts of the bread and the wine, that in receiving them today we may recognize the presence of Christ in these gifts and among us. Nourish us for faithful living. Shape our perspective in ways that conform to your will and your way of living. These things we ask in the name of Christ. Amen. Let me invite you to come to the pair of servers that will be in front of your section or nearest to you. You'll come out the left side of your row, come and receive bread, and then take the bread and dip it in the cup, and then return by the right side, beginning with the front row in each section and working our way back from there. Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always open to all who are present. For this is Christ's table, and Christ welcomes us all. So please, as you feel led, we invite you to come. Let us celebrate.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for this table at which you have fed us for abundant living. As we go out from this place today, may we go out ready to love and to serve and to do all the good that we can, strengthened by the love and the grace that we have known through you and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before I invite you to stand, I'd like to invite you to join the choir for the Hallelujah Chorus, as is our tradition. We will have extra music up here if you feel so led. The altos and basses are on this side, sopranos and tenors on this side, and Sylvia will have extra music, and she'll tell you which section to sing in. Would you stand as we sing two verses of Crown Him with Many Crowns, and then go to the Alleluia Chorus.
Go out with your Easter lenses on. We are Easter people with an Easter perspective. Go knowing that the love of God has conquered evil, that the grace of Jesus Christ has risen up over death, that the power of the Holy Spirit continues to be with us always. Because Christ is risen.